Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich, and I'm your host. And today, I've got another topic for you. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about desire. You know, God's been teaching me some lessons, and this past week, I had an epiphany moment of sorts as I was thinking and praying, and it came as a result of mining my journal. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with journal mining, but periodically going back over a journal with the idea in mind of trying to see what it is that God has spoken to me about before, and really thinking through what are those things that I need to be paying attention to. There was a particular entry back in May of 2021 where Rochelle had just had a seizure the night before, and I was sitting, writing, thinking. It was disturbing, as always. Her seizures are full tonic-clonic grand mal seizures and have always happened from sleep. Thankfully, she has been seizure-free now for the past nearly year and a half. But one of those last seizures that she had, I was sitting and thinking and praying. I was contemplating whether or not we should cancel the things that we had planned, whether or not we should try to just retreat back into the place where we were, or whether or not we should just try to slough our way through and to learn the lessons and hopefully not repeat this process. I was just in a great deal of turmoil. That came on the heels of an event that I had gone to where the author of a particular book was talking about praying the Psalms. In this book, Praying the Psalms with Augustine and Friends, it really spoke to me. My journal entry on the 29th of April, just before this happened, says God is teaching me many lessons. This past week, I attended a mini conference on praying the Psalms. Carmen Imes' presentation really spoke to me. She talked about our desires. She said that desires are acquired. The problem is not that we desire, but that we want the wrong things. Instead of saying, I should want less, we should be focused on the deeper desire or thirst of our soul. Too often we are a raccoon trapped by the shiny object in the hole. Carmen, in her presentation, had given an illustration of a raccoon trap that was used by early settlers where they would put something shiny down in the hole and it would be just small enough that the raccoon could get its little paw inside, but it was too small for it to withdraw its paw without letting go of the object. And even though the raccoon could have freely gotten away, it would hold on to that shiny object even at the very peril of its life. And she said, to really want God is what we lack. She quotes Augustine, our hearts are restless until we rest in Him. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had a hard time connecting with my desires. And I'm not talking about the things that, you know, I occasionally want from time to time. I'm talking about, what do I really want to do with my life? What is it that I really want? What are the things that I truly desire? And I'm not sure what really motivates me all the time. I'm not really sure where some of it's coming from, honestly. And seeking God in prayer by praying the Psalms, I wrote in my journal there in April of 2021, may help me to connect with God, rather than just stopping at, Lord, please make it easy on me. There's a story there. My good friend, Bill Trimble, who was a Free Methodist pastor in Indianapolis when I was pastoring there at Victory Chapel on East 10th Street, we would get together different times, and I remember one morning we had met, he had moved away from the neighborhood, and his wife had passed away with cancer, left behind a 4-year-old little girl, and he had moved away, and I had lost track of him. He moved back to the neighborhood there on Jefferson Street, and we got back together again, and we were sitting there at Harold's Diner on East 10th Street having breakfast, and I was just talking with him about the previous few years as he had walked that journey, losing his wife to cancer and all the different things that he'd gone through. He said, Eric, it's been the most difficult time I could ever imagine. And yet at the same time, God has taught me things through this season that I never would have learned any other way. He's taught me how to pray. He said, I used to pray, Lord, please make it easy on me. I remember him saying, every prayer I ever prayed really could be just summed up that way. He said, but I don't pray that way anymore. I pray, God, glorify yourself. Through my life, through my death, be glorified. You know, it wasn't too many years after that that Bill went home to heaven. He passed away with cancer when that little girl was just about 14 years old. But I'll never forget that conversation. Lord, deliver me from praying. Just make it easy on me. You know, I'm forced to grapple with the raw emotional desires of the psalmist when I pray the Psalms, and I find my heart connecting with the inspired messages and desires that are expressed there. I find myself cultivating a taste for deeper desires that were lacking in my diet in prayer before. For the past couple of years, I've been regularly praying the Psalms. And as I do, I've found my prayer life deepening. You know, I shared a little bit from George Mueller's experience and how that going to Scripture was something that changed his prayer life as he prayed through Scriptures. And I've found that it's been helpful to me, but I also know that historically it's been helpful to a lot of Christians to pray the Psalms and to come to God cultivating a desire for deeper things than just, Lord, please make it easy on me. You know, that very next page in my journal, I begin to fill that in, the desires that God's put in my heart. I wrote, if I could do what I really wanted to do, and then I begin to just express that, to get in touch with that. That was 2 years ago, and I was just reading that this past week, and God used that to awaken in me a vision and a drive that I don't think I've felt for a long time. It was desire, a desire to see something accomplished that is next to impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know, I had that experience last Wednesday, and on Sunday morning, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning with just this overwhelming doubt and fear, and just, who do you think you are, Eric? And I made my way to the prayer chapel and just began to pour my heart out to God and find Him there in His Word. And I found strength to move forward. I found strength to be able to share God's truth with God's people that morning. You know, I think sometimes we just kind of pour cold water on our heart when we have a desire, when we have something that we really want to see happen, rather than taking those desires and recognizing that God has a hand in that, that He has made us, that He has shaped us in particular ways. We just kind of stuff it and push that down in a corner and soldier on. But I read in Psalms 37, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. And what looks to the world to be a luxury, you know, to be able to have your desire, for those who are truly delighting themselves in God, what we want, what we truly want, is what He wants for us. I'm not talking about the kind of cheap, superficial, materialistic thinking that comes across today in some teaching where you just need to name it and claim it. I'm talking about a deep, settled realization that our loving Heavenly Father, who knows us infinitely better than we know ourselves, and who made us, who fashioned us, who designed us, put within us clues as to what it is that He wants us to do and how He wants us to be a blessing to other people. And many times, the way that He wants to do that is revealed in the desires that we have. You know, sometimes one of the questions I ask leaders is, if you could do anything you wanted to do, money wasn't an object, what would it be? What do you really want? Michael Hyatt took it one step further, and he gave a book to each of his children and encouraged them to write down 100 things that they would like to do, or things that they would like to pursue before they left this world, to write down 100 things. Now, that may sound like a very easy thing, but I challenge you not to do 100, but just to sit down and write down 50 things that you really desire, 50 things that you really want to do or that you want to see happen before you leave this world. It's a lot harder than you may think. You may be able to get a list of, 10, 20 even, but you begin to get beyond 20, it gets really tough. It gets tough to get in touch with those things that you really want. And I think the reason is, for many of us, is that we've just stuffed it for so long. We haven't thought about it. It's a luxury to really get in touch with desire and to think about what it is that I really want. We've got things to do. There's no time to think about that. Just get with the program. Get on to the next task. But how tragic to spend your whole life doing things that really don't even need to be done. And so taking time to really think about the big picture really helps us to better spend each day. Someone has said that we waste our days because we fail to plan our years. You know, when you start with the end, you begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey says. You start by saying, what is it that I really want to see accomplished? Then you can break it down into steps and you can get there no matter how difficult it is. You know, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time. You can get wherever it is that you need to go if you know where it is you're going. But if you're not shooting at anything, as someone else said, you're going to hit it every time. It's really important to get clear on what is it that I really want. To start with desire. To start with, why would I do this? And what is it that I really want to do? And why? And so this past week, I just finished putting down my 2023 goals. Yes, I know we're already into 2023, but I put it down. I beautified it on paper. I wrote it out in, I love it. I posted it in my office. I share it with my friends. They're goals that I'm excited about, and they're goals that not only did I write down clearly what it is that I want to accomplish, but I also thought through why I want to accomplish it. What is it about that particular thing that is important to me? Why do I want to accomplish it? Or why do I want to create that habit? Some of them are habit goals. Some of them are things that I want to accomplish this year. But I really want to encourage you to get in touch with desire and to do this prayerfully. The problem is not that we want too much. The problem is that we want the wrong things. We should be focused on the deeper desire or the thirst of our souls. And too often we're like that raccoon that's trapped with the shiny object in the hole. We're grabbing on to the things and holding on to them for dear life and refusing to let go even when our very life is at stake. I've been rereading the book Entertaining Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. Even though it's been written a long time ago, in the 1980s, when I was just a little boy, it's even more true today. You know, we're surrounded by technology, we're surrounded by media, and there are so many people that have lost all touch with their heart that now they're just a consumer marking time until they die of some disease. They're watching the ads on television that tell them what they want, and they're buying the things that they didn't even know they wanted, and they're not completely sure all the time why they're even doing what they're doing. You know, we're surrounded by psychological manipulation in the form of media, and marketers have become increasingly good at pushing all of our buttons in just the right places and making us feel discontent so that we'll buy their product. If we're content with the life we have, if we're content with the home we have, if we're content with the things that we have, we're not going to buy their stuff. All of it is designed to create this restlessness that's already there. Our hearts are restless until we rest in Him. Because He's what we really desire. We used to sing a song, we still sing it. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. You know, to really get in touch with our desires, we have to really get in touch with Him. To be fully alive, to be fully awake, to be fully in touch with desire means that we are approaching the heart of God and finding there in Him our deepest needs met. And it's then and only then that we can fully understand why we are the way we are. You know, this past week, my daughter and I went on her 16th birthday trip. It's hard to believe that little Sarah just turned 16, but one of the things that I started with my oldest, and I'm so glad that I did, was to take a daddy-daughter trip to some place that they would enjoy, and just to spend a couple, 3 days together making memories. You know, with Kaylin, we went to Washington, D.C. We had an amazing time. It was great. But she told me afterward, she said that she had a list of questions that she wanted me to ask her, but she never did give it to me. She just didn't, for whatever reason, feel that she could. We had a great time. We saw a lot of sights. We did a lot of things. But I never asked her those questions that she wanted me to ask her. And so I asked Kaylin and Rebecca, who'd both been on a trip, to give me a list of questions that they would have liked for me to ask them, and suggestions of things to ask Sarah. Sarah is a hard worker. She is fiercely loyal. She is a lot like me, probably more like me than almost any of my children. And because of that, at times, I've struggled, honestly, to be able to really connect with Sarah relationally, just because we're both very driven, very type A personalities, and I've got an agenda. And most of the time, the way that it works is that everybody else fits in with my agenda, which is great for me. But Sarah has an agenda too. And so when we come together, her agenda and my agenda generally clash a little bit. And so it's a challenge. She's an amazing young lady. So talented, so gifted. And part of our trip, we went to Southern Indiana and we went hiking. And the first day we hiked 3.5 miles. And over some pretty, pretty rough terrain in January, in the cold. And she was a trooper. Just did an amazing job. And on the second day, we did horseback riding and we did a little more hiking, but mostly horseback riding that day. And then the third day, we did some more hiking out at the crack of dawn in the beautiful early morning sun. It was amazing. And so much of that time, we were talking the whole time. And I was asking her questions, most of which I had written down and had on a card in my pocket, and just to refresh my memory and keep me headed in the right direction. But there were a lot of questions that centered around this area of desire. We talked about life. We talked about the kinds of things that she enjoys doing. We talked about lots of things. But I learned so much about my daughter in those 3 days as I listened. And one of the things that stuck out to me during our time together was just how much those things have been buried. You know, I've lived in the same house as Sarah for 16 years. I've known her since she was just a baby in my arms. And yet, there was so much about her that I didn't know. And in taking time to listen, in taking time to really hear her out, I heard things that I'd never heard before. You know, I think sometimes our hearts are like that. Yeah, I know you've lived in this body and in this place where you are. You've lived with you your whole life. But do you even know you? Do you know where those desires are coming from? Do you know what it is that you really want? Have you ever taken time to actually stop and hear and really listen to your heart and to what God is putting there as you walk with Him? Because I'm convinced there are those desires there that many times, just in the busyness of life, in the pressure of just having to make the next paycheck and figure out where it's coming from, we just don't have time for that. It's a luxury we just don't have time for. And as a result, we rush on the little hamster wheel of life when God has so much more that He wants us to experience. But it's like the kid who doesn't want to leave his sandbox, even though his parents want to take him to the beach, because to give up my sandbox, I don't want to leave this. This is all I've ever known. And to try to describe to that young child who's never been to the beach what the world's most amazing sandbox could look like. You know, it's not a box. It's like there, and it goes on and on and on, and there's all kinds of sand, and you can make amazing things. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to even communicate to them something that they don't even have the language or the paradigm to be able to appreciate or understand? You can't. All you can do is put them in their car seat and pack them up and take them crying and screaming all the way. And I think sometimes God's doing that to us. We don't know what we want. We don't really even know what's best. All we know is the sandbox that's in front of us. That's it. That's all we've got. And that's all we think there is. When God has, He has infinitely more that He wants to give to us as His dearly beloved children. That's the Father heart of God. And I think that when we begin to take time with Him, and when we take time to really not just listen to our heart, that's not what I'm telling you, but listen to Him and allow Him to unfold there the beautiful things that He has placed there, to uncover the rich diamonds and treasures that He has placed there, those desires, to unearth those in our hearts and to open that up. We didn't even know it was there. We had no idea. You know, I don't know where you're at in all this. And I know for some of you, you may be just like, you know, whatever, Eric. It's nice. I've got bills to pay. I've got things to do. I've got pressures of life. And I don't really even have time to think about desire. I know there are times, there are seasons where you feel like it's all just survival. There's no room for desire. There's no room for wishing and hoping for anything more. You're just trying to make it through another day. I get that. I've been there. But I believe that God has more for us than just soldiering on, than just continuing to put one foot in front of the other. And I believe that as we begin to delight ourselves in Him, as the psalmist said, He gives us the desires of our heart, that He begins to unlock things there and show us things that excite us, that move us, that make us want to jump out of bed in the morning and get busy because this is so crazy fun. And this past week, as I came home from the time with Sarah and this epiphany moment that I had, this desire that God awakened in me, my wife said, as I was just talking 90 to nothing, telling her about this, she said, "You know, I haven't seen you this excited about anything in a long time." And I realized later she was right. You know, there are a lot of things that I believe God wants to shine His light on, that He wants to illuminate in our lives, and that He wants to awaken desires in us that have been dormant. Maybe things that we've seen in the past, but all the daily grind has just kind of pushed it to the side. I just want to encourage you today, first of all, to take time to go back and reflect. If you keep a journal, go back and reflect on what God has already showed you. Do some journal mining. Go back and review, reflect, take time to listen and to see the patterns there, to see the things that God is doing and has done, and see how that has brought you to the present moment where you are now. And then I want to encourage you to get in touch with God and with those desires that He is putting in your heart. Because I believe that the world will be a better place when God's people, inspired by the power of His Holy Spirit, are doing those things that He has made us to do, that He has created us, that He has crafted us for. That, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, that we are created as God's workmanship to do good works. He has so much planned for us, so much more than just being ex-sinners. He has created us. He has fashioned us to do amazing work and to be His hands and feet extended, to be the body of Christ in this world, the continuing manifestation of Christ in the world, and to see the work of God continue in all of its many facets, in all of its many places, all over. Just want to encourage you today. I don't know where you're at in all this, but I'm thankful for the desires that God's put in my heart, and I believe that He wants to do the same thing for you. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.